Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff, and we're delighted to have you with us this afternoon. We have a special guest who's going to talk about how she figured out what was going on in her own family when there are multiple people in your family who are having a similar problem. It's always a good idea to try to figure that out. And Kathy Sherman has undertaken to do that in her family and work to make a difference not only for her own family, but for other families in the world. So we're going to get to talk with Kathy in just a few minutes. And first of all, we'd like to bring you this message from our sponsor. The VHL Family Alliance brings you this show every week, not only to help people with VHL, but also anybody with a complex medical condition or a disability. We hope that you'll find interesting content here and will join us week over week. So let's hear from Keith Richards talking about his own family. Sorry, we got the wrong cue up there. We'll get it here in just a second.
This is Joyce Graff of The Powerful Patient. What if we could make one little chemical change in the body and cause tumors to grow in six different organ systems? That's actually what VHL does. What if we could reverse that change and cure tumors in six different organ systems? We could cure cancer. Won't you please help us? VHL.org. That's veryhappylife.org. Thank you.
Well, we'll hear from Keith in a little while, but right now let's talk to Kathy Sherman. So, Kathy, hi, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me as a guest.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. So, would you mind introducing yourself a little bit and tell us a little bit about your own background?
Yes, my name is Kathy Sherman. And I got interested in the world of genetic hereditary syndromes about 8 or 9 years ago when my husband was quite by chance diagnosed with masses on his kidney. And we were at the doctor's office who said that while they were looking for something else, they happened to notice masses on the kidney. My husband and I didn't really think much of it because masses, that didn't sound too alarming to us, and we weren't really thinking that it was anything serious, and actually waited a month before going to a urologist who then informed us that these masses were probably cancer and that they were on both kidneys. And interestingly enough, at the time, he had to go and look up himself what this was because he'd never seen anybody like this.
Hmm.
We sat kind of in shock and totally amazed, didn't know how to react. Anytime you hear the word cancer, your world sort of comes to a screeching halt, and you think, oh my goodness, what is this? What could this be? And he actually, at the time, said he had gone and, in his research, found that there was a syndrome called von Hippel-Lindau. And that was probably what my husband had, and we had never heard of that either, didn't know what to do with that information. And the next step was saying to the doctor, well, what happens? What do we do? Is this cancer? Do we go have chemotherapy? What should my husband do? And he pretty much petrified us by saying, of course you need to have at least one kidney out, maybe two, right away, as if, if we didn't do anything right away, my husband might not be alive the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we rushed into surgery, not knowing anything about this, not even stopping to think if we should have a second opinion. Barely had time to look up von Hippel-Lindau and didn't think it sounded at all like anything going on in my husband's family, but blindly rushed ahead, thinking that we were doing the best possible thing. And only after he did have one kidney removed did we really think, okay, let's look at this. Let's try and find out, because our doctor actually had said to us he didn't really know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, let's turn to the internet. Let's go and check in and see what this possibly could be. So we looked up cancer on both kidneys and multiple tumors on both kidneys and came up with a lot of articles, none of which we could understand. It was like going to a country where they speak a different language and you have not got a clue what any of it means.
Right.
And you're trying to figure out something that's really important to you, and yet you don't understand any of it. But after just pure chance, just Googling cancer on both kidneys, we came across an article that mentioned the words Berthog Dubé, and they mentioned a skin condition that was associated with this, which my husband had actually been diagnosed with 19 years before this cancer was found. He had developed some kind of white, tiny raised spots on his face and upper chest and back. We were baffled by that. He went to a dermatologist at the time, and the dermatologist said, I'll do a biopsy. The biopsy came back with something called fibrofolliculomas, and we had never heard of that, but the doctor said, this is just a benign little skin condition, no problem, go home, don't worry about it. And at that time, no one had put this together with a syndrome, and no one knew that people with these skin conditions should probably have their kidneys checked.
So did the doctor mention Berthog Dubé syndrome or only the fibrofolliculomas?
Well, only the fibrofolliculomas. And actually at the time he was being looked at, there were doctors in Canada, Drs. Berthog and Dubé, who were finding out that these skin bumps did run in families, but at that time they didn't know anything about kidney cancer either.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not hear about Berthog Dubé until we went online, and there was a real brief mention in an article that this might be connected. So by that time, we were becoming a little bit more curious and a little bit more savvy, maybe on the computer. Still didn't understand what the article was about, but we wrote to the author of the article, mm-hmm. and the author came right back and said, I think your husband has this syndrome.
Hmm.
So what's your first reaction then? Well, you don't know what a hereditary syndrome is, and you say, well, nobody else has kidney cancer in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and said, well, maybe they do. Maybe you just don't know about it. So this is when it kind of got beyond our own immediate family, and we started contacting relatives and saying, the doctor we contacted, who was at the National Institutes of Health, the National Cancer Institute, thinks this may be a syndrome that runs in our family and would like to test you for it.
Now, let me interrupt you here for a second because yeah. you've raised a number of fascinating points. First of all, that most of the people who are diagnosed with kidney cancer don't have symptoms until pretty late in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
your husband's
my husband
kidney cancer...
had no symptoms.
Was noticed because they were looking for something else.
Yeah,
so,
and he to this day, if you were to test him, give him a blood and urine test, you wouldn't know he has kidney cancer. He's never
right.
had any pain from it, never any symptoms.
Right.
And
so
it's
one of those really sneaky conditions. And usually
yeah.
it's something like they do a scan to check your spleen after some accident or something,
mm-hmm.
and they go, oh, what's this on the kidney anyway? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
called an incidental finding. We just by accident happen to be in the vicinity and notice that there's something on his kidneys.
Yeah, and they were trying to find out the source of some upset stomach, and they did find a hernia in his esophagus during these tests, but they also found these masses on
right.
his kidneys, and we had no idea. He was working full-time, wasn't tired, he had no symptoms whatsoever.
Now, the other thing is that we should point out is that most people who get kidney cancer have one tumor on one kidney,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's when we found out this was different. When they said kidney cancer and multiple tumors on both kidneys, we thought maybe, we didn't know anything about it. We thought that's what people probably had. And it wasn't until we ourselves started researching it that we found out how unusual this was, that we found out that even having multiple tumors on one kidney is pretty unusual. But at the time, they were just beginning really to tell us that people with multiple tumors on both kidneys should be looked at for hereditary syndromes. And the one that everyone knew was von Hippel-Lindau.
Right.
So we actually did end up going and having my husband tested for that, even though there were no symptoms in anyone in the family with any of the other listed conditions that were associated with VHL.
Right. Right.
And
this is as recently as year 2000, right?
This was in the year 2000. And at that time, there were under 100 people at the National Institutes of Health that had been looked at for this syndrome. They were saying that there might be 75 to 125 people in the U.S. identified with this syndrome,
mm-hmm.
which makes you feel like you really don't know where to go or what to do about it because it was very new and there was no established test to find out if you had it.
Right.
So they had to do what you call a clinical diagnosis. They had to look and see if you had the symptoms or not, and that's what they offered to do for the rest of our family.
Right. And the other thing you mentioned is that your doctor was honest enough to say he really didn't know. And sometimes that can feel very unsettling at the time, but those of us who've been dealing with rare diseases have come to value that. At least you didn't bluster through and say, oh, it definitely is X, when he really wasn't sure.
No, and at least he had gone and tried to look up what it might be because he had never seen anything like that. None of the other urologists in his office had ever seen anyone with anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked if we should go get a second opinion then after we tried to find out a little bit ourselves. And they really said, we don't know where you'd go or what you'd ask for. So as we were doing this, we were communicating by email with the National Cancer Institute. And they were saying pretty firmly they thought they knew what this was, and we thought, how can you tell from an email? We didn't know that these symptoms were so specific that they really did have a good idea. And we actually went to a leading hospital in a different state close to us, and they said the same thing. We don't know what this is.
Well, fortuitously, the National Cancer Institute had been working on trying to cure kidney cancer for a number of years. I think at that point, at least 10 years, right, that they've been working on that. And part of what they were doing is studying large families where kidney cancer occurred more than once. And they found von Hippel-Lindau disease pretty early, and that gene was identified in 1993. And then continuing along this research, they found people with kidney cancer in the family that the symptoms didn't fit VHL. They were different from that. So they began to group them and understand that there were multiple conditions where kidney cancer runs in families. And one of them is this Bertog-Debye syndrome that you're talking about.
And at the time, they had a couple of other types they didn't really know much about, but they were beginning to see that there were patterns that different families fit into.
Mm-hmm.
So they invited our family to go down there, my husband's family, and at the time they were saying adult relatives over the age of 30. And it took a while, but we did get a group together, and they went there. And to our great surprise, two other family members were diagnosed with very large kidney tumors on one kidney and multiple tumors on the other.
And no symptoms.
No symptoms. And they all really came to be nice to my husband because they thought maybe one of them could donate a kidney if he needed it.
Oh.
They really thought that's why they were coming, was in case he needed help, and thought maybe that since these were experts in urology and urologic oncology, treating cancer of the kidney, that maybe they would help my husband get a new kidney since he'd lost one.
Yeah.
And They did identify of the seven people who came, two were positive for kidney cancer, and the others, they said, we don't really know enough to know if you have this or not. Mm-hmm. So you can probably go home and you don't, you only have one symptom maybe, or a potential symptom, or we can't tell if you have enough symptoms to fit into the pattern. So probably you don't have it. And that's kind of where they had to leave it at that time, because they had not found the gene. They didn't have a gene test. They
right.
had no way of really knowing.
Right. That's the problem with the clinical diagnosis. If you don't have the symptoms, you can't actually rule out the disease, because you may just not have the symptoms yet.
That's right. And you may have such a minor symptom that it couldn't be found. And in our
right.
family, these tiny skin bumps that kind of look like oval, pale pimples. You know, when you look at a person who's over the age of 30, they start getting different things on their skin, and
right.
it's kind of hard to tell. And if you take a biopsy and it's not really definitive, you don't know. So they did give them very thorough tests and asked that they do follow up. But there was really, at that time, we had these three adults who all had kidney cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our family members had to have a kidney removed because the cancer was so large at that time that it needed, the whole kidney was affected.
My goodness.
And the youngest family member had two partial nephrectomies where they took out the tumors they could see and were able to maintain the kidney tissue, so that he has two partial kidneys.
Right, so a nephron is the business part of a kidney, and so when they say a nephrectomy, they take out the whole kidney, or a partial nephrectomy is taking out part of the kidney. So it was good that they were able to take out the tumors and leave him with two functioning kidneys.
Yes, and the reason they did this was because actually even at that time, they knew that people with BHD can grow multiple tumors, and if you remove some, it's very likely that more will grow.
Mm-hmm.
So with VHL, you can have hundreds and hundreds of kidney tumors.
Right.
Probably with BHD at the time, they thought you could have fewer, but you could certainly have multiples of tens, up to 100
right.
or hundreds. And their goal was to keep the kidneys going as long as possible.
Right.
The interesting thing with BHD being that even at that time, they had found people in their 80s and 90s living quite well and comfortably with kidney tumors who didn't know they had them.
Right.
And
so it's kind of hard when you meet a new disease because you don't know how it's going to behave. Part of it is how it looks when you first look at this person, but of course we never looked before, so we don't know what he might have looked like at 15 or 25 or what. And we don't yet have any perspective on how this tumor is likely to behave. Is it going to just sit there and be quiet for the next 30 years, or is it going to grow and be nasty to you? We really don't know. We have a couple of questions waiting in the queue. Why don't we take a tiny break here? Anita, can we play Keith's announcement, please? And then we'll come back and have a couple of questions. Thanks, Kathy. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
This is Keith Richards, a.k.a. Just Sayin'. Is there cancer in your family? There is in mine. But it doesn't have to be bad. We can take action to protect ourselves. I've learned how to get screened and manage my health so that I'll live a long, healthy life. How about you? Visit www.powerfulpatient.org. Again, that's www.powerfulpatient.org. Peace.
Hi, we're back, and Anita has a question that's in the chat.
Okay.
Hello. So Agent Carmichael says, are there any experts or places to go to find information?
This is a problem with BHD because it's still, 9 years later, a really rare syndrome. We know of some states in the United States where one family is known to have it. We believe there are many more. We know of countries in the world where they've identified only one to two families so far. So this is all kind of an emerging situation where it's highly unlikely that there are local doctors who are experts in this and people who could help you. You could easily go to a doctor who would not know what this is, and if you don't know what you have and bring your symptoms to a doctor, it's quite possible that they may not be able to diagnose you. So we're finding...
You have a website where you've been putting a bunch of
information
together,
we're finding
right?
that we have been able to collect information from the doctors we know at the National Cancer Institute, from a few other really talented doctors around the world who are interested in BHD. And we've put it together on a new website called BHDsyndrome.org, www.bhdsyndrome.org. We've just expanded last fall from a very small website to this new and larger one, and we are putting new information on as it comes to us. We are trying to collect information about doctors who are interested in BHD and would like to post that on our website with their permission. We do have the experts at the National Cancer Institute in the U.S., and there are other doctors in different countries who have specialized in this. As far as you finding a local doctor, your best bet may be getting some information off the Internet and taking it to them. You can take print out pages from our website and take them to your doctor and discuss the different symptoms you have and the different treatments that we have been able to put together from the different scientific articles and researchers who are working on BHD.
So there are scientific articles in the medical literature that you can share with the doctors, and you put together the first international symposium on BHD last September in Denmark, right?
Yes, we have discovered that there are doctors all over the world, Japan, Australia, Holland, England, France, working on BHD, and we got them together in a scientific meeting where they presented their research. I would say that in a scientific sense, we're being told that the research is going forward in leaps and bounds. They're learning more about the altered gene that causes BHD, and they're actually working towards treatment for the disease. There's no cure, but they would like to come up with a treatment that would stop particularly these kidney tumors from happening. This is the most serious symptom that's known to happen with BHD.
Right. So has the gene has been identified now?
The gene was identified in 2002, and this means that they do have a target they can work on to target the therapy. I don't know if I've gotten slightly off that question of how you go about finding a doctor. It may be that you really have to work with a doctor who can contact some of the experts, and I have to say the people we're working with are wonderful and are willing to do this. Contact some of the people who have written some of the articles. You can ask them to work with your local doctor. Certainly in the United States, the National Cancer Institute has done more research probably than others as far as treating patients. There are many other research institutions who are working on for future treatments as well. So I would say if you look on our website, you might find some very helpful information that you could work with your doctor on as far as what's being done in the field right now.
That's great. So, Anita, did we have another question in the chat? Go ahead.
Hi. So the next question is from Jennifer Miller. She asks, how old can children be before they start to get tested?
That's a very good question, because the gene test can actually be given to any child at any age, and it can even be given prenatally right now. The result may or may not make much difference to a child in their earliest years, but it's helpful to know because the parents could then be aware of symptoms that may come up. The third symptom we really haven't talked about for BHD is that people tend to develop lung cysts. These are like little air-filled sacs in your lung that mostly are benign. They are all benign, but they mostly don't even affect you. People with BHD probably don't know they have them, and they may never have any effect on you, but there is a possibility that if one of them bursts, you might have part of your lung collapse. And you would know this if you had perhaps a sharp pain in your chest, if you had a little trouble breathing. And it has happened with some younger people, not too many, but if this were happening with a child, you'd know that you should take them to an emergency room or a doctor right away. And you'd also know to say that this child has BHD, so we want to be careful and not do anything drastic with the lungs, because it's possible that this may happen a few times during their lives. You don't want to overreact and operate on a thing like that if it's not necessary. Often with BHD, the lungs will reinflate themselves, and often inserting a chest tube to reinflate the lung is going to be enough of a treatment. An operation might not be necessary. So it's a good idea for even children to know the medical history. It's always difficult to know when to tell a child something. There are no tests or scans that really need to be done during childhood for people with BHD. And the recommendation now is that you start doing CAT scans or MRIs of the kidneys starting at the age of 20. So this is a very personal thing for each family to discuss, when they want a child to know and how much they want them to know.
Right. But at the very least, if you did have symptoms like that in childhood, even if your child has not been formally diagnosed with the condition, you should be sure to tell the doctor that there's BHD in the family, so that they know that this child is at some level of risk for BHD. You know, when you come in the door, you could have any of a thousand different things wrong with you, and the risk that a person in the general population has BHD are extremely low. They're way down under 1%. But if you're from a BHD family, then your risk of having that condition could be 50%, and that's a whole bunch higher and needs to be brought to the attention of the doctor.
Yes, it does, and you need to consider having that in your child's medical records so that they can get the proper care at the proper time, and also so that you can help supply them with information on what the syndrome is and what it does. And when we got into this about 10 years ago, they were suggesting that people not be scanned until they were 30. The more people who are discovered with BHD, the earlier they're finding kidney tumors.
Right.
And therefore, it becomes very advisable to scan earlier, because if you can find them when they're small, you can manage them.
Right.
And that is something that's really important with this kind of kidney cancer, is that you identify these tumors when they're small. Don't wait till they grow over 3 centimeters to find out that they're there. It's greatly to your advantage if you can have them perhaps removed surgically. Or there are a couple of other options for treatment, but to have this done while they're still small, so that you maintain as much of your healthy kidney as you possibly can for as long as you possibly can.
Right.
And this isn't a disease that people see as dangerously fatal or fatal. There have been very, very few cases of deaths associated to the kidney cancer that's caused by BHD. There are several kinds of kidney cancer. We've learned in the past years that there are multiple kinds of kidney cancer that don't act the same. In VHL, you have the clear cell kidney cancer, and we have clear cell kidney cancer in BHD as well, but it's only a very, very small percentage of those who have it. There's another kind of kidney cancer called papillary, and only about 2% of people with BHD have papillary kidney cancer. The most common kinds are more slow-growing than either of those, meaning that actually you could have a tumor growing for decades and you'd hardly even notice it was getting bigger.
Hmm.
There's a kind of tumor that is really benign, although we sort of call it cancer for this sake. It's called oncocytic. And some people with BHD only have these benign tumors. So you might think, okay, well, if it's not a cancer, do we have to take it out? But yes, you do, because it kind of eats away at the good kidney and could sort of overwhelm it, which is more or less what happened to my husband. His got big enough that it really taken over a large part of his kidney. And there's even a mixed kind of tumor that is partly this oncocytic and partly something called chromophobe, which may be one of the slowest growing kinds of kidney cancer. So even in one family, you can have different kinds of cancer. In one kidney with someone with BHD, you could actually have different kinds of kidney cancer.
Right. And when we say the word cancer, most people immediately think about metastatic cancer, the kind that's already moved to other sites in the body, and now you're in a really difficult fight trying to capture little seedlings of cancer any place in the body. The advantage to finding it early is before it has moved to any additional sites, there is a large opportunity, especially in BHD, for getting rid of the tumor before it gets truly nasty.
Yes, and with the most common kinds of kidney cancer with BHD, which are the oncocytic, the benign tumors, the combined oncocytic and chromophobe, and the chromophobe tumors, there's been no metastasis that we know of so far.
That's great.
So that's a very positive thing.
Right, but there is this low possibility, but nonetheless it's greater than zero, of having a papillary or a clear cell one that might be a little bit more aggressive, right?
Yes, and there have been a couple of cases where those have metastasized.
Right.
The question we face is, if we'd been able to find those tumors early enough, could we have kept that from happening? Could we have taken them out before they had a chance to get big enough to metastasize?
Right.
And the doctors feel that with kidney tumors in BHD that are 3 centimeters or under, well, if they can get them out before that happens, that really helps eliminate the chance of metastasis.
Right, but the bigger they get, the greater the risk that they're going to metastasize and go elsewhere and be nasty.
That's right, and that's why it's important to manage these families so that they get good health care from a very early age and that they monitor their tumors. So that's a major deal. In our family, we've now identified about 13 people who have BHD, and that's quite a lot. 4 of them have tumors. The youngest one is 31, and he came in kind of on the tail end of where they are starting to now monitor early. His wasn't found as early as we would have liked, but it was still that 3-centimeter size. Mm-hmm. And now he knows the rest of his life he has to monitor in case other tumors come. But for the other family members who don't have tumors, they are expecting to go about every other year now, have a CAT scan 1 year, and then wait 2 years, have an MRI, and 2 years later have a CAT scan of the kidneys to see if there's any growth coming on those kidneys.
Great. So this is a dominant gene, right?
Yes, it is. That means that anyone who has BHD, if they have children, their children have a 50% chance of having it. If they have siblings, their siblings have a 50% chance of having it. Their parents, one of their parents has it. Sometimes, very, very rarely, do you hear of kind of a spontaneous development of BHD, meaning the first person in the family has it and neither parent does. We don't understand why that happens. It's pretty rare. So it's very likely that this can be traced back in your family and that other people have it, and your whole extended family could look at being tested, particularly because you want to protect your kidneys. This is really important.
Because you don't want your kidney function to degrade whether or not the tumor metastasizes. You want to keep your function high and make sure your kidneys are going to work well for you your whole life.
Yes, that's right. And it's really hard to figure out when this might happen. If you have the BHD gene, it's quite possible the only thing you'll have your whole life is two or three little bumps on your skin. It's quite possible that you may have the skin bumps and the air-filled sacs in your lungs that put you at risk for having collapsed lungs. And it's quite possible you could have all three symptoms, have the kidney and the lungs and the skin, and there's no way to tell who will have what, unfortunately, yet.
Right. But if we know that someone is at risk for BHD, then there are ways to monitor that. And from what you're saying, it sounds like it's really quite a manageable condition.
It's a very manageable condition, and people do tend to live well with this and live long. And not only that, it's kind of unusual in the kidney cancer world to hear of people who go about their lives perfectly normally. With BHD, that's possible.
Yeah. And usually no need for the fancy drugs and all that sort of thing that you tend to associate with cancer.
Yes.
Now, you're associated with the kidney oncology list, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a listserv. You want to tell us about it, then?
Yes, this is a group of about 2,000 people who are affected by kidney cancer. And it
sounds like you need to take a tea break. So maybe we should do is we'll play a message. Anita, why don't you play the message that you put together for Rare Disease Day for us, please? And we'll be right back in about 60 seconds after Kathy has a little tea.
Thank you.
Sure.
Von Hippel-Lindau disease, VHL, is a genetic cancer syndrome where people deal with vascular tumors of the eye, brain, spinal cord, kidney, pancreas, and adrenal glands. VHL is often misdiagnosed, but affects persons of all backgrounds and ethnicities. One person in 32,000 has VHL. Although it may seem like just one rare occurrence, people all over the world suffer from different rare diseases. In the U.S. alone, there are more than 7,000 rare diseases. Each of the rare diseases may be rare, but the experience of having a rare disease is not rare. One person in 10 is dealing with some rare disease. Together with the National Organization for Rare Disorders, VHL Family Alliance will join others around the world on February 28, 2009 to focus on rare disease challenges and the importance of research in developing safe, effective treatment. To find out more about Rare Disease Day activities and to learn how you can help support our cause, call 1-800-767-4-VHL. Again, that's 1-800-767-4-VHL. For VHL. Thank you.
So, Rare Disease Day for this year is over, but next year is always there, and we work on rare diseases every day. Kathy and I do, and lots of other people as well. And we were just going to talk about the kidney oncology list. Before we do that, we have a question from the chat. Anita, could you read that for us, please?
Yep. Henry 5 says, what do I do if people in my family don't want to hear that they might have BHD?
Yes,
that's a question
we've all dealt with that one.
Yes. This is actually something we run into in almost every family we've come in contact with, that quite often someone will be diagnosed with one of the BHD symptoms, and most often it's kidney cancer, and they're told that their family members may be at risk, and yet you find that there are people who don't want to hear about it, who will say, I don't have it. You know, I don't have the skin bumps, so I don't have it, or I don't want to know if I have it. And this is a real issue, I think, for anyone in any family, because, of course, you're concerned about your family members. You're worried about them. If you've had kidney cancer yourself, and even if it's a BHD kidney cancer that you can live with, You don't want anyone else to have it, or you want them to be able to manage it. So how do you react to these people who say, I don't want to know? Well, there are a couple of ways. One thing, you can go and give them some information. We have, for example, a letter on our website you can give to your family that outlines this briefly and at least lets them know that you have this disease. Even if it's a family member you're not in contact with because they're far away or a distant relative You could let them know that you have this, and then it's up to them to find out if they want to pursue it or not. You could print out information from the website. There are a couple of references to articles you could give them to read. But really, you can't, in the end, you can't force people to react to something like this. You can't tell them what they should think or do. And we have a lot of frustration about that, I think, in some families. Is that the same with VHL, Joyce?
Absolutely. And it's the old, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know?
That's right.
And, you know, I think that so many of the frustrated people have talked with me about this. And basically what it comes down to is you need to provide them with the information, but then you have to acknowledge that this is an adult you're talking to. They're going to make their own decision. You can't control that. And as long as you've provided the information, you've essentially done your job. That's all you can do. And try not to make a family feud out of this. It's better you should stay in good relations with this person. One of these days, they may change their mind.
Yes, and something may change because that person may have a child or a grandchild, and that may make them look differently at it at some point.
Right.
But basically, if you make sure they know where the information is and, you know, perhaps what you've been through with this, that's about as far as you can go. You need to respect the people in your family and the way they think and the way they approach things.
Kathy, you have relatives in Europe as well as in the U.S. Do you find a difference in that aspect amongst the people in Europe than in the people in the U.S.?
I think that in Europe, in a lot of the countries over there, they have a national healthcare system, so many of them feel like they're going to be taken care of. In the U.S., sometimes they don't know where to go or who to ask. So I think sometimes in Europe we found that people are more open about talking about this kind of thing, but it's really... we're all human beings.
Right. Yeah, I think the insurance issue is a big one. And what I hear, too, is a lot of people don't want to get DNA testing for themselves or their children for fear that the insurance will clamp down on them or their rates will go up or whatever. But that's a U.S. kind of concern. What I hear in the VHL community is that people are much more open to getting DNA testing in other countries because they don't have that particular worry.
Yes, and they don't have, there are, in some countries, there are more protections in place as far as, for example, your employer finding out about this or having it affect your job. That's coming into being in the U.S. with the passing of the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act last year that hasn't quite gone into effect yet. But there's a lot of information on that as well on our website, connections to that, because that will definitely affect people here, I think, and maybe make people more comfortable. We do have BHD families who are waiting to get family members tested until the law actually goes into effect.
Right, and it will go into effect actually this fall, right?
Yes, and in the U.S., It is very important, I think. With BHD, the waiting is okay because this is really a slow-growing cancer if you have the cancer, and that's the most serious symptom. If you have a different genetic syndrome, you might, you know, need to look at it a little differently.
Right.
And our syndrome is a little different because the symptoms come when you're an adult. Now, we're moving down towards younger adults, almost teenagers now, so that may change. But adults are sometimes affected by the fact that they have a job, they have a family, they don't want to lose the job or the family, they don't really want to tell people about it, they don't want it known that they have a condition. If you have a business or a job that's dependent on you, you don't really want it out there that you have, say, kidney cancer. If that's going to mean that you're going to lose customers or people are going to look differently on your job or business. So there's a lot of hesitation about coming out publicly about what you have. And It's a difficult thing to deal with. Sometimes it's a very good idea to talk to other people about it. What we recommend is seeing a geneticist or a genetic counselor who has been trained to help you through issues like this. And they may not be an expert in your particular disease or in BHD, but they will know how to approach these kind of questions and how to help you find answers.
Right. There's a growing group of genetic counselors who specialize in cancer risk analysis and people who may have hereditary breast cancer or whatever, and this falls into that general category. So they should be able to help you. It used to be genetic counselors were mostly associated with maternity or pediatrics, but these days there's also this cancer risk analysis practice for adults.
Yes, and as Joyce was mentioning before, I also work with a online listserv that is for kidney cancer patients, and it's through www.acor.org. This is a great group of people who help each other with kidney cancer questions about treatments and issues they have. And they're in a very different situation because this often does affect their job or work right away, their insurance. And they have very different needs that this online discussion group, for example, can fill some of them because they don't have a genetic counselor to see about the questions that they have. And I think that finding a support group or finding people who have the same issues as you, the same questions as you, is one of the most valuable things you can do when you're facing any kind of illness like this that affects your life. It really makes a difference to have other people to talk to and other people to ask what they did, what advice they have. We're trying to set up more support groups through BHD. This is a very small population right now. We believe there are many, many more people in the world who have BHD who don't know it because they're just like my family and had no clue. One of my family members was 69 when the BHD was discovered and definitely had kidney cancer for decades and been totally unaware of it.
Which is not to say that you should ignore it, because as you said, the kidney function may have been eroding, or tumors might be on the verge of metastasizing. Mm-hmm. So it's important to stay on top of it.
Well, I kind of sometimes think of it like the old little Pac-Man game you had, where the Pac-Man goes and gobbles, and more
right.
disappears. That can actually kind of happen with your kidney with BHD. The more the tumors grow, if they're not managed, if they're not possibly removed or treated, the more of your kidney goes. And, of course, no one wants to end up on dialysis. So
right.
the better management you have the earlier on, the bigger the chance there is to avoid this.
Right. There are many definitions of cancer. The core one is that it's cell growth out of control. So the very fact that there is a tumor is one definition of cancer. Another one is the metastasis that we talked about, and the third part is locally invasive. So it may not go other places in your body. It'll just sit where it is and cause troubles there and do the Pac-Man routine on your kidney, for example.
Yes, or you could even have one or two small tumors, which in BHD particularly, you would think, okay, well, that doesn't sound all that bad because they're slow growing. But depending on where they're growing in your kidney, they could be growing in a spot that might cut off the blood supply to your kidney. So you might actually be worse off with one or two of those tumors in that location than you would with seven in the lower part of your kidney.
Right.
So this is where it's really important to see experts. And since kidney cancer is rare and our syndromes are rare, it does mean that you need to look for someone who has hopefully worked with something like this before, or is at least, at the very least, willing to learn along with you.
Absolutely. So it goes back to that teamwork that we talk about so often on The Powerful Patient. Need to form a team with your local doctor. And if you have somebody who admits they don't know, that's good. Keep that
yes.
person warm. He gets
I'd
points
have
for
a
that.
Doctor like, I'd rather have a doctor like that than a doctor says, oh, I'm sure if we do this, it'll work.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because you can't be sure, especially with the rare syndromes. And even with kidney cancer, you can't be sure because that's pretty rare.
That's right. So let's repeat a couple of these access things. If they want to find out more about Bernhard-Debye syndrome, they go to www.bhdsyndrome.org. And to find the kidney list, if I've got this right, we go to www.acor.org and look there for the mailing list.
And the name of the list is Kidney-ONC for Oncology, Kidney Onc. And the list, these are many cancer lists. They're listed alphabetically. And it's a wonderful community.
Right. So we'll have all this information also in the handout that goes with this show that will be up probably tomorrow on the Powerful Patient website. And we'll have more information for you there on Kathy and on BHD and on the ACOR list for kidney oncology in general. So any kidney cancer, you can find out more on the Kidney Onc list. And as Kathy just said, on the ACOR site, there are many mailing lists for different kinds of cancer. They're a rich resource. You will get a lot of mail, but
yeah, it's all done by email.
You can ask for one daily summary, right?
You can ask for a digest form in which you get all the emails of one day. And if you're looking for particular information on a particular treatment, then you don't necessarily have to read every single mail that comes to you. You look for the information that's important to you, or you post a question on it and look for the responses you get to that.
Right. So, but it's a wonderful resource to be able to talk with other people, and especially when you have a rare disease, just talking to somebody else who knows what you're talking about is a blessing in itself, right?
Yes, it is. And we are working on setting up something like that on our BHD website for the BHD families as well. So we expect that to be up by the end of May.
Yeah. Well, this has been really great, Kathy. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the group before we start winding down?
I think we just encourage people to visit our website, learn more. We have started as a very small organization, and we've had a lot of bumps along the way getting even the website to function as we want to. So we look forward to hearing from people, and we're happy to hear when things don't work or you can't find information on our site, because we'd like to improve it as well and provide people with the answers to the questions they have.
What motivated you to actually start the support organization?
I think it was finding out that all the information I could find was in this, at the time, totally foreign language to me, and I didn't understand it. And I thought there must be other people out there who
right.
don't know where to go and can't find things. And if we can help any family avoid late discoveries like there were in my family, that's what we want to do. You want people to live long, healthy lives, happy lives, and the best way to do that when you have something like this is to understand it yourself and contribute toward managing it. This is the age of patient advocates. You have to be educated about your own condition, and we wanted to help people do that because there wasn't anything available at the time when we got into it.
Right. We had a call the other day from a family that their son was given a full body scan at the age of 12. So a 12-year-old goes in, gets a full body scan, and of course they find 8 tumors. It turns out there is VHL in this particular family, but 8 tumors, now all of a sudden there's a fire drill. What are we going to do about them?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this were your child, if you knew that there were something like BHD in the family, then you could try to calm down this fire drill. And that's the value of knowing this stuff, because you've heard Kathy talk about, yes, it's kidney cancer, but it tends to be slow growing and so forth. So we don't have to go into panic mode when a child is 12. we can sort of take it under advisement and monitor things for a while and sort of see how things are going. And that's the particular value that we have today. We have these wonderful new tools like full body scans and DNA testing and so forth, but we haven't yet learned quite how to deal with them.
Yeah, and we all need to work together because the information we have and share can help each other. And when you have the Brier syndromes, that's one of the ways that you get out there and find out more about what's going on and what your options are. So we want everyone to be aware of what options they have and make their choices as to how they want to proceed with dealing with them.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the impact that you're making on BHD and kidney cancer in general in the world. And it's really great to speak with you again. You and I have talked quite a bit about our two conditions, and we teamed up in Denmark and had our symposia back-to-back because the scientists who are working on BHD are pretty much the same scientists who are working on kidney cancer and VHL.
And it's been wonderful to work together, and as I say, if you share things, you can learn from each other. We've certainly learned from the steps that VHL has already taken in helping people all over the world, and we don't know how many people in the world have BHD,
right?
And we believe there are many more out there, so perhaps someday we'll be at the level of helping people throughout the world that VHL Family Alliance is.
Thanks. Yeah, well, BHD has really only been properly described since about the year 2002. Is that right?
Yes.
We knew about the dermatology aspect before, but they really just put that together with the kidney one in the early part of this millennia. There are still new diseases that are just now being described, and the one that may affect your family may have some other adherence or it may not. But often with a disease like this, they start out with a description that says, oh, there are only two affected families in the world. My family was told there were six affected families in the world. You were told there were, what, 75 people in the U.S.?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now how many people do they think may be in the U.S.?
It's going slowly, but we believe we're in the hundreds affected. But they think that the people out there are probably more likely in the thousands because many people don't have physical symptoms of this. They never get it checked. And they may never even know until it's perhaps too late with the kidneys that they're overtaken by these tumors what was the cause of this or what was in their family.
Right. But we're entering the age of the full body scan.
Yes, uh-huh. And with a syndrome like ours affecting different organs, that's really where you're going to end up going because you won't
right.
know.
Right.
You know, if you have and if you only get your kidney scanned, you won't know to watch your lungs. So you've
right.
got to take care of the whole body and the whole person and be aware of what the syndrome could mean to you.
Right. So one of the things we hope you'll take away from today is to know that if some doctor says, oh, you have a tumor on your whatever, let's operate tomorrow. Don't panic. Get some information. Research it a little bit first. You know, don't wait 3 weeks, but do take a couple of days, find an expert, get some perspective on it before you do that surgery.
And maybe even get a second opinion if that never hurts either.
Right, and you can find your way to some of these experts thanks to the Internet. It really is easier than it may seem to find your way to experts even in a day or two by using the Internet, using resources like Kathy or like the ones that she's described, and me too. And
yes,
and so
we welcome calls,
we
welcome questions, we welcome emails, and there's no question that's too silly or too unimportant.
Great. So thank you, Kathy, and thank you, everyone, for being with us. Next week, we're going to speak with Yvette Cologne from the American Pain Foundation. So if you have questions about pain, please bring them next week and talk with Yvette. She's really wonderful. And meanwhile, be well and be a powerful patient. Thank you.